You're listening to Speak Loud, resilient stories of triumph and hope, helping you to turn your past into fuel for your best future. Here's your host, founder of the 501c3 Share, providing resource and support for trauma victims, and a survivor herself, Tiffany Barnes.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Speak Loud podcast. As always, I'm your host, Tiffany Barnes, and thank you for joining me here today. I have a beautiful guest in store. You can't see her, but I can. Well, you will be seeing her when I start my YouTube channel, so you're not getting away without seeing her. You're going to see her at some point. Her name is Rebecca Height, and she is from Pennsylvania, just outside of Philly. I know that area very well. Used to spend a lot of my time there in my previous life. She has worked in the food industry and finances. I don't know for how long. We'll find out. She dropped out of college to do a hands-on learning in the workforce. And today she has a BA in business. She's an artist. She's an author. Oh my gosh, we got to find out what the name of her book is. And an entrepreneur, of course. She spends time with her wife, Kristen, her animals, and nature. She wrote her first book. Oh, it tells me right here. Acceptance, the beginning during COVID. Oh, then I'm sorry. She wrote the book called Acceptance, the Beginning. Is that right, Rebecca?
Yes, that is
okay.
It.
She wrote it. Did you wrote it during COVID and self-published during COVID?
I did, yeah.
And she's now working on a second book called Acceptance, the Reality. Ooh, I see where this is going. It's like a step-by-step series here. Yeah. Without further ado, I've just got to turn it over to the lovely, the amazing Rebecca. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
It's like, and the crowd goes wild, like all this music starts pumping and the crowd's like clapping. And yeah, this is like my own like Super Soul Sunday Oprah style right here. I don't have the audience and the stage that she does, but we're gonna make you a rock star. You already are a rock star, but tell me, what are you here to speak loud about, girl?
I am here to talk a little bit about society and the boxes that, you know, these imaginary boxes that are around us from whatever it may be, you know, upbringing or just standards. No one assigned us these boxes, but how do you remain yourself and, you know, still, AKA quote unquote, fit into society comfortably? Also talk about some depression and just being your authentic self and not being afraid.
I love it. We all could use some advice on that and some expertise. And I have no doubt that your message is going to resonate with the listeners today. But we were talking a little bit before we started the recording and you were saying, you know what? Yeah, I know about trauma. I have been through trauma. And again, I always preface this. If this is the first episode you've ever listened to of my podcast, I don't go too much into the shit. I don't want to focus too much on the darkness of the trauma. I'm here to spread light for those who've been through trauma. So give us a surface level. Kind of where, when did this start for you? Was it when you were a child? What forms have you been through? How did it affect your life? And then let's start to take that path to the light when we're done there.
Sure, absolutely. So I would say some trauma started developing, you know, in the teens, connected to, I don't think I mentioned this, but I you read it because I have a wife. I'm an LGBT.
All right.
Hello.
Two and two together equals LGBT.
Know, like, oh my God, I'm dead right now. It's so funny.
That's awesome. Keep going.
So, starting with that, you know, there's a lot of baggage, especially when you're not sure and there's no one to talk to. It causes a lot of chaos, especially when you're going through high school and you really don't have a good sense of the world. Because if you think about it, when you're young, you have the bubble of your parents and the general school. And then as you get older, the bubble grows. And in high school, you get sort of, you know, a car, you're driving more and more independence and you get more about life. And then in college, you're literally like, oh God, I'm here on my own. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm accumulating credit card debt. Like, I don't know what's happening. So through that, it's now imagine you don't have someone to talk to about your feelings. So you do, but not the way not 100%. And then you find out, you know, you might like girls or you're gay or, you know, whatever the platform it is that you're going through. And it causes a lot of spiraling, a lot of potential addictions, a lot of unhealthy habits that sort of continue into your 20s. That was sort of me. And I had to learn to function as an adult, as I knew as an adult was supposed to be, not realizing that the only way to benefit me was to be who I was. And it took a long time to figure that out. Later on, I was also robbed at gunpoint while I was working. So I was also, you know, like through that, you know, I had a bunch of men try to take advantage of me in many different ways, like sexually, also at gunpoint. And wow. That was hard. That was like one of my bottoms.
So like, wait, when you went through this, though, you're like, I'm at the rock bottom. You're like shouting up to the top, the surface. So like, did you always know that you were gay? Did you always know that you liked women? Or was it a situation where like you'd been so screwed over by men and gunpoint and all these traumatic circumstances that you're like, no, I'm going to just like girls now?
That's a good question. It's when I don't hate guys. I want to preference that.
Okay, man, she likes you too.
I don't hate guys. I like energy. So okay. I like good energy from people, general, like genuine personalities. That's what I like. I like individuals. I like...
There's a word for that, by the way, like an attraction to energy. There's a word for that. I learned it like a month ago, and obviously it stuck because I remember it now.
Same thing. Yeah, I learned it a couple months ago and I can't remember. There is a word for it. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I started figuring out I liked women when I was younger. I grew up on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I grew up with Xena. And women were always my role models, no matter what, their strengths, their ability to overcome whatever it is they were facing in those episodes. So as I was like getting older, you know, in middle school, I had that really weird phase. I was a tom girl. I had that phase where I had zero style. You know, we all have the zero style.
I think I have some pictures to prove it, but yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think once in my mom's house, oh my God, I was like, God bless her for allowing me to dress like that and filming it. Yeah, for sure. And during that time, I think I started realizing that I just, you know, in middle school, I just was leaning towards women. And I didn't know how to really, you know, classmates aren't very nice sometimes. And I was already being picked on. I was picked on like all the time because I'm a little, you know, off colored. I'm a little unique and I'm okay with that. But it took a while to get to that okayness. So, you know, I was trying to conform to what was accepting at the, you know, around them and be okay. So when I got to high school, I was like, oh, this is a real thing. Like, this isn't me just wondering, like, I actually like girls now. And I like started a female relationship, no idea what I was doing. I really wasn't in a relationship before that. Like, I had like 1.5 boyfriends, which were just literally just
like
nothing.
A cover. Was it like a
cover? Essentially,
you're like, all right, fine, I'll do this, but I know deep down I like girls. Was it
So I mean literally, and it's like we didn't even go on dates. It was just like it was a label to say I had a boyfriend, to say that I had one, but literally it was barely a friend, it was like acquaintance.
So then when did you like get into your first open, like out in the public, you know, I don't know, PDA or just even just making the proclamation, this is my girlfriend? When did that happen for you?
Probably not until college. I had a very, very hard time with PDA. Super hard time.
Really? Because you felt judged? Or and this is all helping because I know you're going to be talking about acceptance. So I'm glad we're talking about this part of it.
Yes, that has a lot to do with it. I was afraid that I was going to be judged. You know, homophobia is extremely present. I mean, there wasn't nearly as much contact back then. In the early 2000s, I graduated high school 2005. So I came out my senior year. There was barely any people out. There was no LGBT content. There was like Buffy was one of the first, you know, and then there was like undertones for other things. It wasn't really talked about. So it was huge. It is a huge deal for me. And I started bringing more of my LGBT friends. Like I started collecting more of them and then they were like, it's okay. And I'm like, you're right. It is okay. But it took me a while. I would say college. And then I just became more comfortable. I leaned into it a little bit more.
So, okay. So I'm going to kind of like jump ahead a bit. Obviously, you're married now. But how did your family take it when you came out first? I guess that's not jumping ahead. I'm going to ask that question first and then jump ahead. But how did your family take it? Did they discriminate? Did they alienate? Or was it a positive thing?
So my brother didn't seem to have an issue with it. I used to hide in his room when I felt, it wasn't a lot of time. So we're 4 years ahead of, he's 4 years ahead of me. And so I used to actually hide in his room sometimes. Just be like, you know, I just need to hide for a minute. And he'd just be like gaming and he'd be like, absolutely. I was like, great.
That's great.
So it's not like they weren't accepting. It's just, I think some individuals had more like a harder time accepting it. Some of them took like 5 years to really, be okay to even talk about it. I had a relative say like they didn't want me around with my gay friends because they didn't want other people in the family around people that were gay. And I was like,
why? Because you're gonna catch it? This isn't a cold that you catch. Come on, guys.
This is culture.
Yeah.
This is what culture looks like. Like, are you gonna go to Europe and find out that gay people don't exist? Like, what the freak?
Yeah.
So I moved 1,300 miles away, so I didn't have to deal with it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, look at like Greece. I just went to Greece a few years back, and like, there's so much gay in their culture, men on men. I mean, it's like embedded in their culture like thousands of years ago. So this isn't some new thing that's just come to fruition in this trend. I mean, this is something that, you know, we've had in society, maybe not American society, but it's been out there.
Yes.
So mom, dad, everybody, they were pretty accepting of you. I want to ask you a pretty hard question, if you're okay to talk about it.
Sure.
What was the biggest moment in your life coming out where you felt really just like, what's the most hurtful thing that happened to you after you came out, I guess is the most like layman way to put it. Because as a result of you, you know, saying, hey, I'm gay or somebody knows you're gay. What was the most hurtful thing that's happened?
There was a couple of times where people were like, this is the lifestyle you want. Like, it's not going to be the one you think it's going to be like this. Are you sure? You know, the whole phase thing came, you know, it's literally every time
you're
something a little different. They're like, it's a phase. I hate it. It's so cliche.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, I'm like, it's not like I spent years thinking about this and making sure before I said something.
Sure.
I mean, it's, are you sure this is your lifestyle? Is this the lifestyle you want? Like, are you sure you don't want to marry a guy? Like, I am positive.
Right.
I am very sure. But you can still, like, try to throw some men at me and I'll, like, befriend them. Like, I will be friends with them. But I am not going to date them.
So let me ask you the question I'm sure you've been asked before. Do you feel that people are born that way or it's a choice?
I think they were born that way. And only because I say this because I believe in past lives.
Same.
And I know of some, I know this is like super like out there now. I know some of my past lives, and I have in past lives been with men, and several times I've been with women also. Obviously in the past, my past lives, that marriage wasn't a thing. So this is the first time I actually got to marry the female that of my choice.
In real life. Well, real life. The other ones were real life too, but
yes, but not.
And you're okay. You're okay to talk past lives and woo woo stuff, because I've had people on that. The last guest I just had on, remember, I was like, "Oh, sorry, it took a little bit longer." That's all we talked about was the woo woo.
Oh, sweet.
So great. And past lives and soul retrievals and stuff like that. So you're totally going to talk about that. Okay, so I want to fast forward here. So you've got this book, Acceptance, the beginning. That was the name, right? Yeah, Acceptance, the beginning. Uh-huh. So I think you might know a thing or two about acceptance. I mean, given your path that you've just shared with us, why did you decide to write that book?
So at the time I started many years ago, and I didn't even know. Like, I just wrote stuff down and ideas and stuff like that. And I was so ingrained in work at the time in my restaurant business. I was a restaurant general manager in the Midwest. And then I moved here, and then, you know, COVID hit, and I lost my Pizza Hut job. I worked at Pizza. So I lost my job, and then I got a new job, and then my stepfather passed away. And I lost four people in 1 month. They all passed away literally a couple of weeks apart from each other. Mm. And my wife, who was my fiance at the time, was struggling. I was struggling. And so I was just getting these messages through, like, so heartache and turmoil comes growth. Yes. It comes art. You know, like, when you're in love, you create art. You write music, everything. When you're heartbroken, literally heartbroken, like your soul crushed, true art comes from that. And you get help without realizing you're getting help. Like, some of your thoughts are your own thoughts. Usually they're like, this is awful, no one loves me, whatever, you know, like all these terrible, terrible thoughts, which were happening to me. And then also you get the other thoughts, like, you can do this, you got this, like, it will get better. You can help other people get through this. You just have to make it over that little hump and believe in yourself, and then show other people you can do it. And that was the message I was getting. Mm. So when I was getting those, when I was getting those messages, I started realizing that as I was getting them, I was making a story. It was a video in my head. And I was like, okay, let me write this down so it's a little bit more organized. Because, you know, it's all like when you have this thing playing out in your mind, it's just all over the place. So I started writing it down. I was like, oh, this is actually a story. And so I grabbed my notebook from 5 years before, and I started just branching off in different directions with that and things I was getting at the time. I was going through this soul crushing heartbreak, and my story started coming out, and I was like, okay, so what other messages can I share with people? So I wrote a book with all the things I wanted to say to other people struggling, to people in my life I wish I could have said in the past, and like literally all of it. And I put it into characters. I built characters around personalities that I wish I had in my life, or my inner child, or my inner teenager, if you will. And I gave them the words that I wish I said. And I made a book, which is book one.
So it was very therapeutic for you on that level. But then you're hoping it's going to be very healing for others in their own journey to finding acceptance in whatever that may be. So then, excuse me, you're working on the second book called The Reality, Acceptance, The Reality. So how does that go from what you just mentioned to Acceptance, The Reality? What's in that book?
When I started the beginning, it's a metaphor that isn't so secret, as you found out. It's the first steps to healing. Mm. So the reason why I wrote it, and I tried my best a lot of people are going through life with no emotion. They're hiding their trauma. They're hiding their feelings. They're not facing them head on. They're not happy. They're literally drowning, but there's no way to, they're masks, right? They're drowning internally. No one knows on the outside. They're not sharing with families. So I wrote the book to help them face some of those emotions. And so it's a little hard to read for some individuals because they're facing the things they shut off.
Sure.
So once they start healing, the reality opens up, second book, to what is healing actually looking like? Mm-hmm. So saying, I want to heal myself, let's do it. And then actually going through the rows of depression and crying and facing the trauma head on. It's going to be a hot mess, but when you come on the other side, you're going to be so much more at peace and you're going to have strength and you're going to have a better self-awareness. And that's sort of where I'm ending book two. And there's going to be a book three where it's going to like have some finality to it.
Yeah. So what's book three? Can we know the title yet?
Reborn.
Reborn. Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Right.
So, excuse me. And I like what you said. Apparently I've got a frog in my throat today. But I like what you said about the reality in your second book, because, having to go through the shit, as I mentioned, you know, because in life, we're like an onion and we've got all these layers that you got to peel back and peel back and peel back to really get to the center of who we are. And in those layers is some of the stuff you may not want to relive, but it's what you're carrying with you in your inner child and in your subconscious tape that's constantly playing over and over, you know, and it doesn't matter how old you are, you're still going to be working on that, but you have to be willing to go into that battle, so to speak, to truly get to the light on the other side. You know, and I think where a lot of the journey ends for people in healing, in acceptance, in joy, in happiness, all those things, is they get to the first part of the battle of the healing, you know, to cut through their darkness and their demons and the things that they've been carrying with them. And they get 10% in or 20% in or 80% in. They're like, I stop. I can't do this anymore. But you've got to get to that other side, the full 100% of the battle, to really see the healing and to experience the true joy and all the things that everybody wants in life.
Yes.
So do you have anything in your experience and in your books that you're going to be teaching on how to, you know, continue through that to the 100%?
So I had the main character go through a deep depression in book two, because I've been through several. And when it's key to comment that even after you get on the other side of that depression, when you're facing those feelings and going through it, facing it head on, because she's facing it head on. Like, she has a friend, who I call her sidekick, Melanie, if you will. She is the best friend I always wanted, and supports her in a way that I hope everyone has in some kind of way in their life, to help guide her a little bit. So I was intentional when I wrote it. Melanie did not give her the answers necessarily. She literally directed conversations for Selena, the main character, to figure it out on her own. Because if an idea of healing and fixing yourself comes from someone else, it holds a different value than you coming up with yourself. If and also another side note is depression, once it's over, it doesn't stay good forever. You may have repetitive waves. So like, being at peace isn't a one and done. It's a journey that literally continues on. You have to face it over and over again, but the next time might not be as difficult. It might be easier to deal with. I paint, so I do a lot of painting. That helps me a lot. Writing, of course, my books, that's very helpful. But it's not one and done. That's so imperative. And I'm going to show that through book two to three because there's some stuff that happens in book two near the end that really puts her back into the depression. And I'm doing that on purpose. I feel very strongly about this.
Because it's important to, it's kind of like that episode you said you tuned into of mine, and it was called It's Okay to Not Be Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole message of that episode was, hey, I'm 40 years old. Can't believe I'm saying that out loud. 40 years old, and I'm still working on stuff. So yes. I love that you're doing that from book two to book three, because yes, you might get through the depression and experience the highest of joys, but you're going to end up back in maybe some depression in some point in life, in time. But you've got to realize you can overcome that. It's a moment in time, right? And I think I'm guilty of forgetting that. Maybe you're guilty, of forgetting it. And so are maybe many of the listeners. But it is but a moment in time. And it can be changed. So I do like that you're kind of toggling back and forth between those two of happiness and joy and, maybe depression, and it comes in waves. I see a picture of a ship behind you in the ocean.
Yeah.
And as soon as you said that, it reminded me of that, is sometimes you have high seas and other times you have calm seas, and sometimes everything in between. But it's about enjoying the journey, experiencing the journey, and knowing that you're getting to an end result at some point in time. At some point, you're going to land on land. And you're going to be safe from the crazy waves of a storm. So I love that you put that there. So you mentioned painting, and I did mention as well that you're an artist. So when did you realize that artistry was something that, or being an artist, was something that really helped you in a healing modality kind of sense?
I've always been into art. I was an artist in a past life.
Okay.
So I would like to believe I was much better in that past life. Let's just put that there. But through my childhood, I was always into art. I fully believed in first grade that when I combined pink and purple and made it a color, I invented a color. I swear to you, I was like, I made a color. I invented a color. In fact, it was periwinkle.
Okay.
So when I lost my job, I was in between jobs before my current one. I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know what to do with the idea that my livelihood stopped. Like, I was so sure that's what I was going to do forever. And here to find out, no, and in fact, it was not. So to help deal with that, I really threw myself into art with my spare time, which was all my time. Surprise. And I really started off shaky because I put it on hold for so long. And then I really just started rolling with it and started looking up techniques on YouTube and the internet. And I actually sold, I think, six or seven of my paintings. And I actually go to events now. And I do, sell them at the events, just community events and stuff like that. But it really helps me. I love color. I look at the world and I see splashes of color. I hear music from energies through the air. It's just, I want to share it with people as much as humanly possible.
That's incredible. And really, writing is an art too. So, there's that as well. What are you hoping when writing these books? What's the whole purpose? Obviously, it was a healing thing for you. And I know you want to heal others, but really, what kind of epiphanies are you hoping a reader's going to get from reading your books?
I want to help people elevate their life and their vibration. I believe in the human race so much that I feel like everyone's lost hope. And I understand there are some bad people in the world. We weren't born, and that's a topic I write in my book. We're not born bad people. We're made that way through situations. So, family life, outside world, whatever. I believe so strongly that the people in the world just need a little bit of help and a little bit of light. And they're going to be more okay. And that's like my biggest purpose that I'm trying to do right now with everything that I'm doing, all my art, all my writings. I want people to understand that A, it's going to be okay. It might not be okay right now. It's going to be okay in the future. We just have to work on it, but we have to do it together. Can you picture a world with a community of people that aren't good at everything? Their pride is pushed away. Like they just have humble and joy and sense of community, like helping each other. And then whatever they are not good at, the person next to them can complement their vulnerabilities or their weaknesses. And not in a like relationship wise, but like as a, like just as a community. I don't want to say a business because it's beyond business. It's like, it's hard to explain sometimes, but.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. So how many books are going to be in this series?
Three.
That's it? You're stopping at three.
Well, I have some other ideas too. So.
Well, let's hear them, girl. What's on the 5-year plan? What's 5-year plan
what's
for you?
What's my 5-year future?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So there's a backstory I wrote in book 2.
Okay.
And I was thinking about, it's called Origins. I already named it. it's already named. And I sort of showed some, I already showed some of the plot line to it through that because it's part of this story. But I think I'm going to make it its own book. It probably won't be a huge book. It's probably just going to be one just to explain that. And then I also have a completely separate book that I again started like 5-10 years ago, based in England, Victorian England. I just have to figure out.
Was this your past life? One of your past lives?
Maybe.
Spoiler maybe. Alert. No.
Spoiler. Yeah, I love it.
That's really awesome. Do you have are you planning on doing any speaking on any stages, any coaching? Have you thought about doing any of that? Support groups?
Yeah. So I was actually trying to research into how to do like a TED talk, but not a TED talk. Cause that's usually, I think, medical, I want to, in a perfect world, go on a stage and talk to a group of people and say, okay, how do you motivate your employees? I want to talk about culture. I also want to talk about how do you motivate yourself into being your best self, your highest self. I just haven't figured it out. I might start a YouTube mm-hmm. channel. I don't know.
Yeah.
I also am starting to explore counseling. So like anyone who needs just some direction and they don't quite have that mentor that they need. I'm actually looking into a way to start doing some like mentorship for individuals.
That would be cool. I like that. So, I was just going to ask you a question and it escaped my mind. Hello, come back to me. Oh, shoot. I can't remember what I was going to ask you. Anyways, it'll come back. It'll come back. It'll give it back to me. What makes you feel most empowered?
That's a good question. I get a lot of my empowering feelings from music.
Me too. I love music. Do you listen to all forms?
Yeah.
Or do you have like one genre you love more than another?
I mean, I like rock, alternative. I have Evanescence tattooed on my back. No one knows that until you see it, but I do. And I like country. I like, I grew up on Broadway. My grandmother, who I didn't know about, actually, I found her a couple years ago. I was in Broadway. Didn't know. Love Broadway.
Wow. You know, music was huge for me. I was emancipated at 15 years old from my family, basically, like lived on my own in high school and stuff. And I found Dave Matthews. I don't know if you know who Dave Matthews is. Dave Matthews Band and them and Depeche Mode. Nowhere near the same music, but but then I also played the viola in the symphony. So like I loved classical, But what I'm getting at is I would take these long bus rides. Like, really, the reason I became emancipated was because of my mom, not my dad. My dad just kind of signed over his rights because he was like, well, I know it's the best thing for you. So I'd still go see him. And I'd have these hour long bus rides to go see him. He was like 45 minutes away, maybe longer than an hour. And I had remember those little CD Discmans?
Yeah.
And I would listen to Under the Table and Dreaming by Dave Matthews or the Violator CD by Depeche Mode. People call it Depress Mode, but I don't care what they say. I love Depeche Mode. And I would, especially that Under the Table and Dreaming by Dave Matthews, like that, I wore the shit out of that CD. Because I don't know, like that song Grace Street, which is not on that album, but that was on an album previous to that. Just there's so much about that song that I felt like he wrote it about me. And I'm sure you identify the same. Like when you're going through certain emotions, sometimes you can't put into words how you feel, but a song can. Somebody else has already put it into words and lyrics for you. And I've always been that person where like I drive with like loud music in my car. And if somebody rides with me, I'll like, oh, listen to this song. Yeah, listen to the lyrics. And people are like, okay. Like they just don't listen to the lyrics. But sometimes I do that because I want them to hear a message in it that I'm trying to say to them that I just never had the guts to say, you know, like maybe like somebody had a crush on or something. So yeah, music is a huge therapeutic thing, I think, for a lot of people. In overcoming trauma, you know, in trauma situations. So my question came back to me, what I was going to ask you, though. If you had to give advice in 5 words on how you got from where you are to where you are now, what would those 5 words be? So like, for an example, resilience, patience, then, you know, something like that. What would your 5 words be?
Five words. Okay. Self-care.
Okay.
It's more like a sentence.
You can't give me sentences, girl. It has to be a word.
Okay, all right. Resilience. That one's good. Okay. So self-care, resilience, strength.
Okay.
Optimism.
Okay.
Time.
Ooh, I like that one. I was thinking faith, but I like what you came up with better. Time. Yeah, it takes time.
Yeah.
That's so true. If you could go back and talk to yourself as a little girl, or just maybe that first time you experienced trauma in your life, knowing what you know and what you've written, what would you have said?
I would have said, I know. Right now, it feels really bad. It feels like literally the world is ending. But I promise it won't always be like that. I know that's a cliche because that's what people say. But literally, if I went back to some of my darkest rock bottoms, and there's been like 3 or 4 of them. And when I was younger, I used to turn to, you know, drinking, I did some drugs, but I was very, very, very lucky. I didn't get addicted to them. Very lucky. And I would say the emotions that you're feeling right now are valid. They're not forever. Just get a little further beyond them. Believe in yourself and it will be okay. Just keep building. Keep building off of what you have.
What do you know for sure?
What do you mean?
What do you know without a shadow of a doubt is for sure?
Like in life or just anything. In general?
Yeah, anything.
What do I know? I know that time is made up. I know that time is made up. So a clock is something that was put on us, you know, like time, minutes, hours. Those are made up. It was all made up. Yes, the world goes round. Yes, we get older. But healing is done not on a specific schedule. It cannot be done in a couple of hours, a couple of days. It's your time. It takes as long as it needs to. And I'm 35 right now. Like, time continues. I'm going to continue to age, but rounding again to past life, after I pass, eventually I will be reborn again. And whatever I didn't fix this life, I will fix next.
Time. We just talked about this on the last podcast too. Keep going. Yes. Keep going.
Yeah. So it's time is. So I did a podcast recently. It was last month. And they were asking about what was happening in the world. And mm-hmm. we were talked, you know, among some of the topics. And I held back, but not really. And I said, the people that are causing issues with the harmony in the world right now are going to eventually die. And the people that are better off in the world will continue to grow and take over and do better. That it's a time thing. We're in it right now, and it feels like hell. But it will, it's time, literally. If you look back in history, the empires, the Roman empires, the Egyptian empires, when you're living in it, that's all that matters, those 100 years. But on a scale of things, it's just how many empires have risen and fallen? You know, how many right. enemies have come to the front and later been prevailed or whatever? You know, history is history, but it is a line. It will continue. It will probably have ups and downs. And I mean, that's how it is, but it won't remain that way.
Right. What are you hoping the listener is going to take away from today's episode?
Anyone who's struggling. So I have thought about suicide several times. When I was younger, it was about a girl, you know, and I would live in... It's always a girl for me. Like, it's always, I don't know. It's always a girl. But it's like situations. So several times I thought about suicide. And that, I mean, that's the bottom of the barrel. This sort of sucks. This life is absolutely horrendous. I do not want people to feel like this is the end of the road for them ever. Even though those emotions really are struggling, our life and your life is way more important to other people and yourself to give up. Cause there's so much, it's hard for me to explain, but I know the future is going to be better. And I want to help people see it too. I want them to feel the light I feel in me, like in my body. So anyone who's struggling, anyone who's really just trying to find the light and they're, you know, facing financial hardships or, you know, relationship hindrance or friendship abandonment, and they feel alone, you're not, I promise. There's other people. Reach out, ask for help. You staying in this world is going to be so much better. It just might not feel that way right now, but it's going to be so much better. And the world needs all of us right now.
Absolutely. I think we're, and this is again something I just got done having a conversation about on that other episode, is we are all here on the planet at this time for a reason. We yes. are in a great awakening. We have a collective consciousness that is literally, we are put here on this planet at this time to be light workers, is what I call it, to help others find their light. And you, mama, are in that same category as me and a million other people out there that are here to help people wake up to, it doesn't have to be dark and doom and gloom. It can be light and joy. Yes. And we're here to experience abundant love. So I love that. So we're running out of time. Can you believe we've already gone almost 50 minutes? Okay, so let's say somebody's like, I want to read Rebecca's books. Where yeah. does somebody buy your book? Do you have a website? Do you have social media? Give us all the deets.
Sure. So my book is actually in a couple of places. If you search Acceptance the Beginning online, it comes up online at Kobo, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million. Amazon? It's called BAM. Amazon, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I'm in a bookstore in Philadelphia, queerbooks.com. It's, you know, digitally around, but at the hard copies, the paperbacks, I should say, Amazon.com is one. I do have a website, Rebecca Height, my first last name, .com as well. It can direct you to where to purchase it, either from myself or the other sites. I also
we should
have...
tell people that your last name is not spelled like it sounds.
Yes, absolutely. So my last name is H-E-I-D as in David.
Yes.
T as in Tom. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because there are some weird spellings out there.
What about your Instagram? Okay, there you go.
Yep. Height. What is my handle? It's Height Bristow Revolution. Height Bristow Revolution.
Okay.
Yes.
And so what I'll do then, for those of you tuning in, is just go down to the show notes on this episode and you can literally click and it will take you to her website, take you to her Instagram. I take the work out of it for you guys, make it super, super easy. So make sure you check out the show notes to follow her, like this episode, share, rate, review it, all those good things. But before we end, we have 20 questions. She's like, dang it. Oh, come on. It's not going to be
okay. No, I'm excited. Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Choose a number between 1 and 20. I need to redo these questions because I think I've gone through them all. We'll see what you choose.
Let's do, I want to pick 13. That's sort of my number. 13.
What? Let's do 13. What profession, other than your own, would you like to attempt, and why?
I love this question. Okay, let me think.
See, you didn't get the question you thought you were gonna get.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I mean, 1 out of 20 chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would love to attempt. There's two,
okay,
that I find interesting that I never really traveled around to. So the first one is a stage manager for like a concert hall, because I love music. I mean, I just music is amazing. I can't say enough good things about it. All music, I would love to just be around it all the time. Or a pastry chef.
Okay. Yeah, those are a little bit different, but I like
it. Yeah. Yep. I like variety.
I love it. Very cool. Well, any last words before we end, Rebecca?
Love you all. You all are amazing. Love all of you.
Well, thank you again for sharing your time with me here today and your knowledge and your vulnerability. And I can't wait to see what the future has to hold for you. I definitely want a copy of your book, so I better get online. I'll buy one. You guys, if this message resonated with you at all, please go like, rate, review, all the things, because this is a labor of love. I tell you every time. Just do me a little solid and just go ahead and hit the like button and share it with somebody. And as always, you are worthy, you are enough, and keep on shining your light. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Speak Loud. If this message resonated with you, please feel free to share it with anyone you feel could use the support. To find out more information about Share, our movement, and to join the cause, please visit sharethemovement.org. Until next time.